I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. As we've been going through these judges and then the prophets, I've tried to take each of the prophets, and obviously not being able to deal with every verse. And I know with the book of Malachi either, but I've tried to preach each of the prophets in one message. The book of Malachi, I'm going to try to preach this book, but as I was preparing my notes, it just worked out to four messages. And so I'll try to preach this book over the next few Wednesdays. We've come to the last word from God to the nation of Israel before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know. There were prophets that overlapped. There were prophets and there were prophets that prophesied and overlapped each ministry. And they had no idea this was going to be the last word from God for about 400 years. God was not going to speak. And in these last words from the Lord, our Lord gives great assurance to His people and a great warning to the false prophets. So before we begin this evening, let's ask our Lord's blessing, then we'll start. Our Father, as we come tonight, we thank You for this blessed time to hear Your Word. Oh, the glorious privilege to hear the gospel of God's grace. Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing. And I pray this evening, Lord, have mercy. Lord, if You will, You save sinners. I ask You tonight, Lord, would You bless the Word? Oh, would you bring forth fruit unto salvation? Lord, we knock and ask and seek for Christ's sake. Amen. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent this prophet, Malachi. And the scripture I know was born to Israel, the natural Israel in particular. I understand that. But this book was written for the comfort, the assurance of the spiritual Israel, God's Israel. And this word is alive tonight. This is a word to us. This is not history. This is alive. This is real. This is God's word for us tonight. In one of the last services, Lord willing, that we'll have in this year, 2013. Just a service or two more. But this is God's word, and I pray that the Lord is pleased to bless it. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The utterance, that's the word, the utterance of God to God's people, to God's Israel, to God's elect, declaring His distinguishing grace. Now listen, he starts off, and as I said a moment ago, they didn't know. They did not know that this was going to be the last word for almost 400 years. Now you think about it. 400 years they would not hear from God. And oh, the wisdom of God Almighty, the mercy of Almighty God to leave His people with this word. Verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord. I have loved you, saith the Lord. What more could He say? When the years would begin to roll on and on and on and on, and God doesn't send a prophet. He doesn't send a prophet. Doesn't send a prophet. But this was the last thing He told me. I've loved you. I've loved you. Even you, wayward Jacobs, I have loved you. Yet, ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Or in what way, Lord? How? And our Lord, in tender mercy, answers, I've loved you according to my distinguishing grace, distinguishing with, I've loved you because I chose to show mercy to you, compassion to you. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Wasn't Esau Jacob's older brother? Yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. I laid his mountains, his state of reprobation. I chose to leave Esau to himself. God has the right to do that. He's God, and if God Almighty chooses to leave a man alone, this is the state of reprobation. This is a reprobate. One that God has left alone. That's a reprobate. You've got elect unto salvation, you've got reprobates. That's only two kind of people that's ever been born in this world. One is an object of mercy, and one is an object of God's wrath. Does God have the right to do that? God loves according to His good pleasure. I have left Esau. I hated Esau. I laid his mountains. That mountain wherein he trusted the law. I was deserving. This is mine by law, by right. God Almighty shows mercy to whomsoever He will. Romans 9, 15, 16. Hold your place right there. Romans 9, 15 and 16. Wherein have you loved us, Lord? Wherein? I've loved you, saith the Lord. How have you loved? Wherein have you loved us? Here, Romans 9, 15, 16. He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. How have you loved us? I've loved you according to my distinguishing grace. I chose to show mercy to you. He blesses the Jacobs of this world and causes the Esaus to come to nothing. Look at verse 4. Whereas Edom, that Edom was the country inhabited by Esau, so you'll understand what Edom was. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I shall throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Esau's of this world. Now I read that right here, and here's a free will act of so-called repentance. We are impoverished. We're demolished. Man by nature has no problem convincing other men. You need to repent. You need to get things right. You need to come back to the Lord. You need to walk down the aisle. You need to be baptized. You need to have the Lord's Supper. You need to turn over a new leaf. You need to rededicate. You need to go. Man has no problem convincing men to do something. Because you're a sinner. They read that in the Bible. But here's their attitude. We are impoverished. We are demolished. We do need to turn over a new leaf. But we will return. We'll build the desolate places. The Lord says, you'll build them, I'll tear them down. Almighty God has mercy on whomsoever He will. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God forbid. And then from verse 6 through verse 15 of chapter 3. And I'm not going to deal with all those verses tonight. But in those verses right there, Almighty God, by and large, is going to be talking to the false prophets. He will talk to His people in those verses, and I want to deal with a few of them tonight, because like I said, I plan to preach 4 messages out of this book. But Almighty God is going to talk to these false prophets, and He's going to set forth His displeasure with them. This book is alive tonight. If you want to know what God's attitude is toward false preachers, listen to what God has to say. 400 years, He's not going to speak. And this is the last word from God until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Well, until John the Baptist comes in the announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ. 400 years. What does God have to say? Well, He says to His people, I've loved you. I've always loved you. I've loved you with distinguishing grace. I've loved the Jacobs. I hate Esau's. Here's what the Lord has to say. Verse 6. A son, and He's talking to false prophets. Verse 6 to 8. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now, I know for the sake of time, we can't deal with every verse. But let's look at a few of these. To you false prophets, to my people, this is my word to you, I love you. I've always loved you. To you false prophets, you set forth that which is dishonorable. He said, you're setting forth and you've despised my name. Last part of verse 6. Wherein have we despised thy name? He said, you've offered polluted bread. You've offered a sacrifice. This is not referring to the showbread. It's offering to the sacrifice. You offer a sacrifice that's polluted. And they say, wherein have we polluted? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. It's worthy to be rejected. It's not worthy of consideration. Now here's exactly, so you'll understand what he's saying is this. When we preach the gospel of God's free grace, we preach Christ, we preach the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We set forth Him. We glorify Him. We magnify Him as the fulfillment of all that was in the law. Man by nature hears the glorious gospel of free grace. They say that's contemptible. That's not worthy to be considered. That's not worthy to be heard. There should be, there ought to be a respect for God's sovereignty. When men say God, we worship God. Just the very fact that they're saying that, there ought to be, just in the acknowledgement of God Almighty, the one that they say made all things, upholds all things, sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, and not sovereign in salvation. Where is He limited? He said, you've polluted the sacrifice. How have we polluted? Verse 8, you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is that not evil? You offer the lame, you sick. When men preach today, when false prophets stand in pulpits today, what kind of little g God are they setting forth? I tell you what they're setting forth. One that's sick and lame and blind. One that can't help himself. One that needs your arms and your legs. One that needs your will. One that needs your help. He said, you're offering, you're setting forth pollution. You're polluted. You're setting forth a polluted sacrifice. I want you to notice, if you have a margin, and my margin says in verse 7, you offer polluted bread. There's a reference there to Ezra chapter 2, verse 62, and Nehemiah 7:64, and they both say the same thing, so I'm just going to read one of them. Ezra 2:62 says this. This is the reference. He says, when you offer polluted bread. I'll read this to you. Ezra 2:62. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. Now, what is he saying? He said, you priests that are offering a sacrifice that is contemptible, not worthy, you say, not worthy to be considered. You say that this that I set forth is not worthy to be heard, not worthy to be honored. You are the priest whose heritage can't be found. A lineage was kept of the priest, the order of the priesthood. And whenever they went back and started looking for proof of these priests, those that could not find their heritage to be justified were kicked out because they were polluted priests. You priests that are setting forth a polluted sacrifice, you're the polluted ones. You're the ones that have no heritage. And you're standing in a place that is to be honorable concerning the Lord Jesus Christ because you're a picture of Christ. That's the place of the priest. When that priest went in and offered that sacrifice, that priest was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no heritage. You cannot show yourself to be one sent from me. You are the polluted one setting forth a polluted sacrifice. The sacrifice that you're setting forth, it wasn't the best. You took the blind and the lame and the halt. And again, setting a slight upon the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that He Himself is impotent. Men that stand in pulpits today and declare a weak and impotent God. I'm telling you, they are a blight. They're a blight. Don't hear them. When Almighty God is not set forth as sovereign, we dishonor Him. Men that stand in pulpits disrespect Him, and the people that hear Him have no respect for Him either. You're setting forth polluted bread. Polluted bread in that your actions say that the Lord is not worthy to be considered. You're saying that the table of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, is to be disesteemed. And it's the same thing today. He's not worthy to be heard. A polluted sacrifice, an impotent sacrifice, an impotent gospel, an impotent Jesus. And if I did not mean one that was not worthy to be heard, I would have never referred to Him that way. We refer to Him as the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Men stand up and they use that name, and they have no right to refer to Him that way. They set forth one that's not worthy to be considered. They do set forth one that's not worthy to be considered, because the one they set forth is powerless. And Almighty God reprimanded these false prophets for it. You offer blind, lame, sick, that which is sickly, impotent, saying that the Lord Himself cannot be God without your help. Latter part of verse 10. Well, look at verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Let me ask you this. When He said, I will not accept an offering at your hand, do you think God Almighty blesses a false gospel to the salvation of a sinner? Will God bless a lie? No, sir. I will, without reservation, declare there is no message that is blessed to the salvation of God's elect except the message of sovereign grace, sovereign saving, sovereign electing, sovereign redeeming, sovereign quickening grace, particular redemption. Christ died only for His elect. That's the only message that declares not one thing that He did was not for His purpose. Salvation of His elect, salvation of sinners, everlastingly loved in Christ. To say that He died to make salvation possible is to say that He's sick, lame, blind, can't get the job done. There'll be some with that message, they say, that'll be in hell that Christ died for. And God does not bless it. I've heard people say, well, I was converted under Arminianism. I was converted under free will preaching. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. I wasn't either. Almighty God is God. He blesses one message. The Lord rebukes these false preachers and declares that there shall be a faithful following after Him in spite of them. Look at verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, My name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering. For My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Almighty God is going to save His people. He shall bless His name. He shall honor His Son. He shall call out His elect. This is the encouragement that I have in preaching the gospel. A false gospel has no promise to it. It has no promise in God's Word to be effectual. None. Men are appealing, Carl, to dead sinners. They're appealing to dead people. There is no promise in it. This is the only message, Mitch, that I know God's going to bless. And this is the encouragement that I have. That I can, with absolute assuredness and boldness, I know God's going to bless this message. I know that His Word is not going to return void. I know that whatever God Almighty wants to do tonight, He's going to do. I know that. There is going to be salvation. My name is going to be honored. But these false prophets, they had no heart for the work. They had no heart for the work. I'm telling you, a false prophet, a false preacher, and I have stood, I know what I'm talking about. I have stood in a pulpit. I was preaching before God ever called me out of darkness. And I'm telling you, it is nothing but arrogance and pride. And it's all about me. And it's trying to impress you with how much I know. And I'm trying to appeal to your emotion. And I'm thinking, if we can sing Just As I Am enough times, long enough, finally somebody will come down and do something. No heart for the glory of God. The Lord rebukes. Almighty God is going to save His people. Look at verse 12 to verse 14. But you've profaned it. You've abused my worship with irreverence. I mean, I could make statement after statement after statement. Irreverence. Men assemble themselves together in a place they call a place of worship. And it's nothing but just entertainment and music and on and on and on. Irreverence, irreverence, irreverence. The gospel is not the issue. You've abused, you've profaned, he said. In that you say the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. I looked that up. He said, you're saying that my worship is weariness. Here it is. To be tired or bored because of monotony. You've said that my worship is a weariness to you. I've had people say that about me. Clay Curtis told me one time, he said, somebody told him, said, you need to get some more material. He said, you just preach the same thing over and over and over. Is there anything else that you have to preach? No. No. You say that this is weariness. Behold, what a weariness is it. And you've snuffed at it. You've sighed with disgust. I just want to go somewhere where I can hear something that'll tickle my ears. You snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn and lame and sick. You brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Then our Lord continues his rebuke of false preachers in chapter 2. You know, I know that one might say, boy, I tell you what, you kind of wear it out, don't you, on false preachers in this world? Do you know what I'm doing? I'm repeating what God has to say. And what the Lord has to say is the only thing that we have to say. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. I'm going to send a curse upon you. Hold your place right there and turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:9. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. When Almighty God says, I'm going to send a curse upon you, what is that? 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Even him, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, here's the reason I'm going to curse you, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they would not hear. Here's the curse that's promised back in Malachi 2, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. For this cause, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen to me. If you will not hear, I promise you, you will not hear. If you don't want to hear, God will give you just exactly what you want. The only reason that anybody in this building tonight, and anybody else in this world, that God has ever called out of darkness, the only reason they don't think just like this is because God Almighty chose to show mercy and would not leave them to themselves. The only reason that I would believe this or you would believe this is because God chose to have compassion and would not let you perish. If He would have left you or me to ourselves, we would not hear. And Almighty God, for the sake of His everlasting covenant of grace, will take a Jacob that believes by nature the same thing that an Esau believes. And the only reason that Jacob believes God is because God chose to show mercy to him and gave him a new heart and made him willing in the day of God's power and called him out of darkness, and that rebel against God believed God because God gave him faith. That's the only difference. We have nothing to glory in save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I will curse, back in Malachi 2, I will curse your blessing. That is, I'll take what should have been a blessing to you and I'm going to make it a curse. I'm going to curse your blessing. Now, here's what he's saying. You take two people sitting in this congregation tonight, sitting next to each other, sitting one here, two people. One of them hears and one of them doesn't. One of them hears by the grace of God, the other one doesn't hear because God left him to himself to do whatever he wanted to do. When he says, I'm going to curse your blessing, listen, that one that believes not hears just exactly what I'm saying, just like the other one does. And here we are tonight, by the grace of God, hearing the gospel of God's grace, hearing what God has to say, hearing what the Lord has to say. This is the blessing. I'm going to take what should have been a blessing to you, and I'm going to make it a curse. Hold your place and turn to Psalm 69:22. Psalm 69:22. I'm going to take what should have been a blessing, the hearing of the gospel. Psalm 69:22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let it be that which should have been a blessing to them. Look at Romans 3:1-2. Romans 3:1-2. I'm going to curse your blessing. If God leaves a man to himself, God is just. If God Almighty sends the gospel, if you hear the gospel, and God leaves you to yourself, and you perish, it was your fault. Romans 3:1-2. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Every way, chiefly because that unto them was committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Almighty God does which is right. Look at Romans 11:9-10. Romans 11:9-10. I'm going to curse your blessing. Romans 11:9-10. David saith, it's what we just read back in Psalm. Let their table be a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. False preachers stand with a Bible in their hand. They read it. They don't believe it. And that which should have been a blessing to them is going to be a curse. But in the day of reckoning, God Almighty has set forth, you're going to know that that salvation that was given to my people was all of grace in Christ. Back in Malachi, as we wrap this up, chapter 2:4-6. You shall know, Malachi 2:4, you shall know that I've sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. He's talking to these false preachers, these false prophets that set themselves up, that couldn't, that had no proof of their lineage, no proof of their of being in the priesthood according to God's word. You're going to know that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord. My covenant was with him, a picture of Christ, life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away many from iniquity. God's covenant was with Christ, set forth by God's preachers, God's prophets, set forth a perfect, holy sacrifice concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. God's preachers never preach an impotent Christ. Never. Never a blind, never a halt, never a lame, never a needy Christ. God Almighty. You false preachers, you stand to preach for God. That's what you say. You should have set forth the truth. You should have spoken aright. This is the condemnation. Look at verse 7 to 10, chapter 2. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you're departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? When the Lord told them back in verse 9, you have been partial in the law. Here's what he meant. You've not shown Christ to be the fulfillment of what you're setting forth in this law. You've not set forth the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not set forth my Son. You've not set forth Him. You've taken that showbread. You've taken that candlestick. You go through all of the motions, but you've been partial in the law in that you've not set forth it. You dealt with the law in its outward sense. And you've told people, if you go through these rules and regulations, you're right with God because you've kept the law, but you've been partial. You've not set forth my Son. You've not set forth Him. When we take the Old Testament and we preach these pictures and types, when we talk about the Ark of Noah, when we talk about the brazen serpent, when we talk about the rock, we want to see Christ in that. We want to see Him. We want to honor Him. And after the Lord's rebuke for their actual and spiritual adulteries toward Him according to His Word, the Lord then rebukes these false priests for saying that God loves and delights in everyone. You see why I say that this Word is just as alive tonight as it was over 2,000 years ago? Let me ask you this. The false preacher is not set forth. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. God wants to save everybody. Look at verse 17, chapter 2. You've wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? He said, when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? He said, you weary me because you set forth that every evil, everyone that's evil, you say, in the sight of the Lord, you're good. God loves you. Almighty God has promised that He's going to judge the wicked for their rebellion. That's what God said. They say, God loves everybody. The Scripture says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. He said, you weary me with your preaching. Now these scoffers ridicule the Lord for what they say is delay. You say, where is the God of judgment? Where is He? 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Men make a mock at sin. He said, you weary me because you say that everything is that evil is good and God's pleased with it. You say God loves all men. And where is the coming of his judgment? That's what else you say. You make a mock at sin. You jeer at religion as a whole, but especially at the ministers of free grace that preach a sovereign God. You mock them. You mock the second coming of Christ. The resurrection. The torments of hell. You mock God's judgment is what you're doing. God loves all evil. God loves all men. You're just saying God's not just. That's what you're saying. You're just saying God's not going to truly deal with sin. That's what you're saying. They mock now. But there's coming a day when all things are going to be settled according to the Lord's absolute holiness. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now I'm going to read the verse in closing because I want to leave on this note. I'm going to read the verse that I want to start with next time. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Our Lord has set forth in these two chapters that we just looked at. This is my word to my people. I love you. I love you. This is my word to those false prophets. I'm displeased with you. You mock my sacrifice. Excuse me. You mock my sacrifice. You mock my word. You lie. But here's the word of the Lord to God's people. Take heart. We're living in a day where this message that we've just preached, this is the way it is. Right here. This is what false preachers are preaching. But listen, take heart. Behold, I will send my messenger. He's talking about John the Baptist, the coming of the Lord. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. Now let me tell you this. His temple, this is His people. Know you not that ye are the temple of the living God? Listen to me. The Lord comes suddenly to His people. He comes suddenly and comes suddenly and comes suddenly. He comes even now. The Lord whom you seek, and God's people do seek. I want to be careful. I tell you already, I'm getting into the notes for the next one, but that's okay. That's all right. The Lord whom you seek, and they do, shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Oh, that messenger that brings forth that blessed covenant time after time after time. God's people never tire of hearing of the covenant of God's grace, whom you delight in. And they do. Behold, He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to stop right there because I know where I'm going. And I'm going to stop. I pray that God bless these words to our heart. I know this. God's going to have mercy. God is going to bless His Word. He's going to comfort His people. He's going to lift up the broken, the lame, the halt, the maimed. You that need Him. He is the mighty God. Lord, bless these words to our hearts for Christ's sake.